seriously, well, you believe that life begins at conception, the taking of a human life?
Yes, I do.
You would allow abortion to be performed in states, if chosen by states, for people who think otherwise?
I do not think that you can have a law that would be effective and that would be the right thing to do, as I say, in terms of potentially. You can't have a law that cuts off an age group or something like that, which potentially would take young girls in extreme situations and say, basically, we're going to put them in jail to do that. I just don't think that that's the right thing to do. It cannot change the way I feel about it morally, but legally and practically, I've got to recognize that fact. It is a dilemma that I'm not totally comfortable with, but that's the best I can do in resolving it in my own mind.
So what do you make of Fred Thompson? That was on Meet the Press with Tim Russert, answering some rather pointed questions about his position on abortion. What do you make of his position? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Last 45 minutes of Issues Etc. straight ahead. It's audio open lines, then we'll do some listener comment line as time permits. Issues ETC at KFUO.org, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Let's go to the phones and talk with Robbie, who's calling from his car. Hi, Robbie. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. This is my first time listening to the show. I was just traveling through the area. I heard the Thompson interview yesterday, and I think what it shows is what an evil man Fred Thompson actually is, because he actually admits that abortion is the taking of a innocent life. However, he believes that states have the right to legalize the murder of taking an innocent life. A Christian answer and a real leader and a real man would stand up and say, states do not have the right to legalize the owning of blacks, the murder of innocent babies, or the murder of Jews, or the murder of anyone, for that example. So, no, states do not have the right to legalize abortion.
Robbie, thank you very much. Now, what Robbie has done quite deftly, and I think quite appropriately, is just substitute the word abortion with the word slavery, which can be done. Now, of course, they're not the same issue in all the particulars, but as a social, moral, political issue, they occupy exactly the same place in the universe, slavery and abortion. So someone would say, well, the state should be able to decide whether they have slavery or not. And that policy was, in fact, the policy in the United States until the bloodiest war we ever fought, where the nation came to not a unanimous but a lasting conclusion that the federal government really did and should have something to say about whether or not slavery is legal in the United States. Now, just substitute the word abortion. Fred Thompson says this should be something decided by the states. He wants to go back to the pre-Roe situation where every state made up its own mind about the legality of abortion, but he's against laws that would criminalize it. So how illegal could it be? Aaron's calling from her car. Aaron, hi. Aaron is calling from his car. All right, we'll see if we can
get... Hello?
Aaron. Yeah, I'm here.
I'm a little confused because I thought when I first came on, he said he couldn't say exactly where life began, whether it began at conception or someplace else. But then at the end, he said he believed it began at conception. So I don't know, because I came in on a little bit of it, and I may have missed something. But
well, stay on the line there, Aaron. What he said was... Russert was quoting some of his earlier statements when he was serving in the Senate. And he said, well, okay, I didn't know then when life began, but I do know now. And so he's kind of citing a change of position, or at least coming to a stronger conclusion
after
about when life
began. After seeing the sonogram,
yeah.
But other than that, I just think he's an excellent politician. He can stand with a foot in both places at the same time.
Isn't it amazing? Oh, well, thank you very much, Aaron. Look, I think Fred Thompson is a compelling figure, and I'm trying to sort out his position on life. I was sitting there Sunday morning waiting for the family to get ready for church, and I'm watching this in the living room, very interested in what Fred Thompson might say, because I've heard differing accounts of his position on abortion. And what he ended up saying, as you heard it, left me somewhat confused as to he seems to be able to compartmentalize his moral objection to abortion from his, what he calls practical and legal, position on abortion? Does it wash with you? Phil is calling from his car. Hi, Phil.
Yes, he said that he's trying to work through this in his head, so maybe we can help him work through it by explaining to him if he believes that abortion is taking of a human life, then we have a word for it, and it's called murder. And we already have a law for it. You don't have to make a law. And then once, you know, is it voluntary, involuntary? He says you don't want to make a criminal out of a young lady, but or a doctor. But once you put the term on it, what it's supposed to be, murder, then it will wake up all the other the doctors and young people, young girls.
Thank you very much, Phil. Good thoughts. We're going to have to come to grips with this. I mean, people have said, we can't criminalize abortion because then you're putting all these young girls who are in desperate situations in jail. All right? I want you to think for a moment about the prom queen who is pregnant and then she has her baby and tosses it into a dumpster, and then they discover that the baby has died there in the dumpster several days later. They trace it back to her, and she is accused of infanticide. Legally and rightly so. We criminalize that behavior, don't we? So we're going to have to come to grips with this. If she kills the baby before the baby is born, even with the aid and assistance of a doctor, how is that any different? Why wouldn't we criminalize that? The only reason we're hesitant to criminalize something like this is because we've had 30-plus years of it being perfectly legal. No one said it would be easy. Steve is calling from his car. Hi, Steve.
Hey, on the political politician side, I want to take a different slant. I honestly don't think a true pro-life person could ever be elected to the presidency of the United States. And it's very simple. So much of our society has been tainted with the view of life being as an option. That any time that someone comes in and takes an absolute position like that, they're pretty much labeled as the extreme. And so what happens is naturally people move away from the extreme. That's why you will never see hardly ever find a truly hardcore pro-abortionist running for office successfully at the presidential level, because that's the extreme also. People like to sit in the middle where it's all mushy.
Steve, I think you've put your finger on something very mushy. Yes, thank you for the call. Right, I mean, you will not find a politician on the pro-choice side standing up and saying, I'd like to be president in 2008, and I believe in abortion on demand. I believe abortion is just fine, not wrong or evil in any sense, and that I have no concern whatsoever for the unborn, whatever the unborn may be. No one is so crass as to state their pro-choice positions, although they may, in fact, believe those things secretly. No one's so crass as to state those positions that blatantly, because they know that they would nix all chances for election. Even their fellow pro-choicers would say, wow, that sounds kind of extreme. I mean, it's what I really believe, but when someone comes out and says it, golly, it sounds terrible. Well, you're right, Steve. It's true for the genuine pro-life position, too. Now, we're happy to welcome people on all levels of the spectrum here, people who are still making up their minds, or people who have come 50% of the way or 75% of the way. I'm much happier with someone who says, look, I think abortion ought to be illegal in everything but the first trimester, than I am with someone who says, legal all three trimesters. What are you talking about? It's a matter of degree, and in the world of politics, you're right. There's always that force of gravity that pulls even principled people somehow away from their principles and toward the mushy middle. Dave's up next. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I'd like to interject some. I think there's a little bit of confusion here going on concerning which law applies where. Murder is not a federal crime, I think, unless it's against a federal marshal or so. So there's no such thing as a federal crime of murder or manslaughter or so. Then you think in terms of, is abortion an action like murder, or abortion like slavery, a status or so? So O.J. Simpson thing would be a good illustration of that. O.J. was tried in California for murder, et cetera, but the federal government could not try for murder. There is no such thing. So they tried him against civil rights, violating someone's civil rights. So I have to think in terms of which law applies where. So I've heard to talk back and forth, talk about this, that, and the other thing, and there's a different jurisdictional situation there. So
well,
people need to realize that.
Dave, there may well be a jurisdictional. I think the economy of our legal system is that if you can convict O.J. Simpson in California under California law for committing a murder in the jurisdiction where he did it, there's no reason to convict him for... Now, if he did commit those murders, premeditated, cold-blood murders, let's just say for the sake of argument, there is no federal statute against murder, which I'm not convinced there is. I'd have to ask someone who knows better. That certainly does not mean that the federal government has said, you know, when it comes to murder, we're just kind of hands off. We take no position on murder. I don't think that's a case anyone could make. Here's Nancy calling from her car. Hi, Nancy, and thanks for waiting.
Yes, hi. You were talking about it as murder, and I'm totally pro-life. And I just think that fathers should have a little bit of the onus on them and the responsibility and a voice with what happens to the baby. That's all.
Yeah, well, if it is the father or the boyfriend, well, boyfriend slash father, if it is the father or the husband or whoever it is, that is saying to this woman, we need to go get this abortion. I'll drive you there. I'll pay for it. As far as I'm concerned, he made himself an accomplice. Now, there are a lot of men who object to it. And sad to say, what we've heard on these airwaves, the research that's done with young women, and a lot of them are young women having abortions, is that the person who talked them into it was their mom. And as often as not, their Christian mom, their Christian church-going mom. Kind of puts a different light on it, doesn't it? Erica's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin.
Hi.
I was wondering, why is abortion legal when murder is illegal? Because abortion is just basically like murder.
Thank you very much, Erica. It's a great question. Well, out of the mouth of babes. It is, I'll correct one thing Erica said. It's not just like murder, it is murder. The only difference, and it is murder without a doubt, the only difference is that the victim is the most helpless, defenseless victim that one can imagine. I guess another difference would be that the victim of this murder is in fact kind of out of sight and therefore out of mind. She asks the question. If we consider the taking of any innocent human life to be murder, then why wouldn't we consider, it always comes down to that question that Scott Klusendorf puts before us every time he's a guest on this program. The issue in the abortion debate is who is the unborn? If the unborn is this full-blown human life at an earlier stage of development, no one argues that, then we are talking about murder. Kathy's up next. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. I know that the pro-life position is the correct position, staunchly pro-life, but I do think he has a good point. I do think that it would be hard to criminalize, and I also think that we need to start somewhere, and I think that, a lot of times we don't like to think we have to compromise on our position because we're right. We are right, but the reality is, historically, a lot of times political things are done through compromise, and so I think there's some wisdom in what he's saying.
Kathy, I agree that what Fred Thompson is saying is, it is simply impractical to in his words, not only overturn Roe v. Wade, but go back to a situation that never existed immediately prior to Roe v. Wade, which is across-the-board federal criminalization of abortion for all the parties involved. He's saying it's impractical. He can't see how it could ever work. How could it be enforced? What would you do? How would it be enforced when it comes to these young women or the doctors or the people who are involved in it? You know, he's right. It would be very, very, very hard. Now, the only reason it's so hard, as I pointed out before, is because we've allowed abortion from beginning of, from conception all the way to natural birth to be perfectly legal in our country for almost 35 years. That's why it's so hard. It has become an institution. Getting rid of slavery was hard, too. Really, really, really hard. Most, at the time of the great debate over slavery, even before the war in our country, argued it's impractical. Our economy depends upon it. What are we going to do with all of the African Americans after? They didn't call them African Americans. What are we going to do with the African Americans after they're freed? They're uneducated. What will become of our society? Abraham Lincoln was a huge advocate for what he called colonization. Free the slaves and send them to a colony back in Africa, which actually took place in some cases. And you're right, politics is the art of the possible, where good ends are often achieved through incremental compromise. That's why we're talking about this, the Fred Thompson position on abortion, because he staked out a position that is where he says, look, my moral principles are clear, but what I think I could actually do as president, practically, people have to be realistic about it. Look, I'd be happy with overturning Roe v. Wade and giving it back to the states and then doing the work in the states that need to be done to see to it that abortion is eradicated. Do I realistically think that could possibly happen in my lifetime? No. Roe could be overturned, and it would be a great step forward to put it back in the states, but that doesn't solve the problem, and that doesn't rid us of abortion. It simply gets rid of a very, very bad legal decision that made abortion an institution in our country, so much an institution that even those who are adamantly opposed to it realize there's no undoing this overnight. Folks, you can help us defend life from beginning to end by making a year-end tax-deductible gift to the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. It's a big part of what we do here on the airwaves. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. For a year-end donation of $50 or more, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas sermon I preached titled When the Fullness of Time Had Come. You can donate online, our website address. Go there tonight, issuesetc.org. We have an automated resource line. You can call 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or you can write us. Our address, Issues, etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember us as the year comes to an end. Well, let's find out what Fred Thompson had to say again on Meet the Press on the other issue that seems to be mattering a lot to the potential values voter, gay marriage. Here he is.
Gay marriage, according to the Associated Press. Thompson favors a constitutional amendment that bars judges from legalizing gay marriage, but also leaves open the door for state legislature to approve the practice. So if a state said, we want to have gay marriages in our state, you would be okay with that?
Yes. The marriage is between a man and a woman, and nobody ever thought that that was contested until recently. And we've had a couple of judges in a couple of states decide to turn all that on its head. So we've had a judge-created problem. I would support a constitutional amendment that addresses this judge-created problem. But at the end of, and say judges can't do that, but at the end of the day, if a state legislature and a governor decide that that's what they want to do, yes, they should have the freedom to do what Fred Thompson thinks is a very bad idea.
In March of 05, the Congress, the president signed legislation allowing a federal judge to intervene to perhaps reinsert a feeding tube in the famous Terry Schiavo case.
Yeah.
You've spoken about that, about the death of your own daughter. Your view is it is a family's decision to make whether to insert or remove a feeding tube.
Yes. And obviously in consultation with their doctor.
But there should be no laws involved.
No, I've not said that. Why, I mean, you got to put your lawyer hat back on, you know, with this most personal, should be non-legal consideration. If there is a family dispute, then there are courts in every state in the nation that you can take a dispute like that to. I said the federal government should not be involved.
But the government should not have gotten involved in Terry Schiavo.
No. Now, you know, keep in mind now that the government didn't come in and say, you got to do this, you got to do that. It gave federal court jurisdiction. Federal court didn't need jurisdiction, in my opinion. These are kinds of things where well, you mentioned it myself, my own personal situation. Let's just say you never know when you make the right decision. What it wasn't totally comparable, but it was the same general end of life kind of consideration. And I've resisted and resent, frankly, the political football that's been made out of all that, and it's unfortunate. The less government, the better.
All right, that's Fred Thompson on two issues, gay marriage, in particular a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. He says, no, a constitutional amendment to keep judges from issuing fiats on this. Your reaction to it? 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And on cases like Terry Schiavo, Thompson says, the federal government should keep its hands off the situation. It's a difficult enough decision by itself among the family members. What do you think? That's the euthanasia question. 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. This is so much more useful than the debates. In these debates, you never actually get a clear position from any of these candidates, Democratic or Republican. They all get to have their little sound bites and their little jabs and their little sayings and their little jokes, but you never really hear what they have to say until they sit down with a guy like Tim Russert, who has the papers in front of him and asks the plain, simple, honest questions. And sometimes you actually get plain, simple, honest answers. So do you like what you hear? 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Issues Etc. is underwritten in part locally by Concordia University St. Louis Center. To find out how you can pursue an associate's, a bachelor's, or a master's of business administration degree through Concordia University St. Louis Center, give them a call, 314-984-8840, 314-984-8840, or find out more about Concordia University St. Louis Center under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. It's professional education with a personal touch. Concordia University, St. Louis Center. When we come back, let's listen to some of our listeners. We have that comment line that we keep open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, that in case you hear something on the air or you hear it when you're listening on demand or on your iPod that strikes you as interesting, something you disagree or agree with, a question that was raised in your mind that we didn't answer, you can always call that resource line and ask a question, make a comment. We'll listen to some of our listeners from our Issues Etc. listener comment line on the other side of this break. By the way, that comment line is 314-505-7825. And it's always there. You can call in anonymously. You can agree or disagree. We're happy to hear from you in any case. 314-505-7825. When we come back, we'll listen to some of our comments from our listeners from the Issues Etc. comment line. Stay tuned.
Where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, I'm Tom Baker, inviting you to tune into Law and Gospel. Have you ever heard a wonderful interpretation of a biblical passage, but did not know how to apply it to your own life? That's the task of properly distinguishing between law and gospel. It's what you hear on the weekday broadcast regularly.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on AM 850 KFUO.
Is Issues Etc. part of your church's mission or advertising budget for next year? Well, your congregation can now join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Membership benefits include monthly CDs, books, transcripts, and advertising your church on our website, in the Issues Etc. journal, and possibly on the radio. For more information on how your church can support this worldwide mission outreach and publicize your congregation, look for the logo of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
The universe It's designed to be understood. Answers with Ken Ham, one of the contributing writers for Answers Magazine. Ken, we know from the Bible that the universe is designed by God, but what do you mean it's designed to be understood?
Well, Mark, one of the amazing things about the universe is that God designed it so that we can understand how much of it works. You see, the universe obeys the laws of physics. Many of these laws are simple mathematical formulas. Consider the famous equation E equals MC squared. It's a simple equation, and yet it relates three of the most fundamental things in the whole universe: mass, energy, and the speed of light. And you know, there are many, many other examples of the universe obeying very simple mathematical relationships. It's as if God wanted us to explore and understand the universe. But think about it. If the universe were just an accident, why should it obey such simple, concise formulas? For that matter, why should it consistently obey any laws at all? But it makes sense if we start from the Bible. God made the universe to obey simple equations so we could understand aspects of it. You know, the Bible makes it clear that God wants us to study and appreciate His creation. Psalm 32 tells us not to be as a mule which has no understanding. And as we learn more about the universe, we gain an appreciation of the wisdom of God.
Is it possible that God might have created intelligent life somewhere else in the universe? One of our staff scientists has considered that question, and you can find his booklet on our website, answersradio.com.
Here's an email I wrote. Pastor, I just took a voicemail from a listener in Centralia, Illinois. He says he wanted to thank us for your program today. He says he appreciates your demeanor, that you sounded like a servant of the Word, and that he didn't think you were one of those preachers who came across as arrogant. He detected a humility that he found refreshing and very much appreciated. Just thought you'd like to know. And I concluded by saying thank you for reaching this person for Christ.
On one of our recent Bible study programs, Pastor Richard Moore used an example to describe the faith of little children.
Children believe you when you talk to them. Do you know how many adults I can talk to and tell them anything, and they will be questioning? When I was a vicar, I went on with the pastor's family to like a World's a Fun place, and the youngest wanted to go on the roller coaster, and he was like a half an inch short to go on it, and I told him to stretch, and I would take him. So we sat in the first car. And we went straight up 4.5 stories. And as we were about to go over the top, he turned to me with abject terror in his face. And he said, "We're going to die." And I said to him, "No, we're not. You'll be fine." He let go of the bars, put his hands over his head, and went down. Because I said he'd be fine, he was fine. I thought we were going to die, but he was fine. Children believe you when you tell them something.
Our program is a children's program. Listen to the Bible study weekday mornings at 10:05.
Welcome back to the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. We're going to be listening to some of our Issues Etc. listener comment line. Oh, every week or so we go in and we check it. It's kind of like a well. You put the bucket down there and pull it up and see what's in it. And very often we find some very interesting, very enlightening comments from our listeners. Don't always have to agree with us. In fact, the listener comment line is especially there for those who don't agree. You can call in anonymously. You can call and leave your name. It's 314-505-7825, 314-505-7825, and it's there 24 hours. If you're listening in the middle of the night, I don't know why you would, but if you are and you want to call it, feel free to do so and leave a comment, a question. If there's something we didn't get to that you think we need to, or a suggestion for shows, we have some very good suggestions made there. 314-505-7825, the Issues Etc. listener comment line. The first one for today comes from a listener with some interesting thoughts on atheism and on Mormon presidential candidate Mitt Romney.
This is Ben in Topeka. Just calling with all the talk of atheism you've been doing lately. And the one thing that's kind of struck me about it is that they keep talking about it in moral grounds. And we kind of say that they don't have a moral foot to stand on. But something else we're ignoring is that, or that I feel like is being ignored, is that Christianity isn't really a moral system. It's the only religion in the world that doesn't fit that mold. It doesn't try to say, this is what's wrong with people, and here's what you do to make yourself better. It says, here's what's wrong with you, and you know, you can't say, you can't fix it at all. No amount of morality can fix it. So I think that's what's so alien to people, and what, of course, that's the offense of the cross, is that we can't fix it, and so Christ comes down and dies on the cross for our sake. That may be immoral, but from a, if you look at it not as a moral stance, but as a redemptive stance, it's the only solution that could possibly work. So I kind of wanted to talk about that. I did also want to say, speaking about Mitt Romney and seeing if he would be a good president, I don't know if he would be or not, but how embarrassing would it be for Christians if he didn't go around saying that Christians and Muslims worship the same God? I mean, we have our great Christian president in the office right now, who everybody holds up as a good and moral leader, and he says that. So if Mitt Romney were elected and didn't go around saying nonsense like that, I think as Christians we should all be a little embarrassed. Not that we all believe what the president believes, but of course that would depend on him being elected president, and also depend on him actually not saying those things. But just the thought I had on Mitt Romney as well. Thanks.
All right, thanks for that comment. That is, first of all, the issue of atheism, and it's, okay, there's a critique of atheism, an apologetic critique of atheism, not as it relates to Christianity, but as it relates to the notion of God, theism. Not atheism versus Christianity, but atheism versus theism, that states, and I think it's a pretty solid argument, that atheism has no real objective, and this is the key, objective ground for asserting any ethical or moral statements as true. It has a subjective ground for doing so. That is, I think this is wrong, or I feel this is wrong, or it seems wrong to me. Fine and good. But it has no objective standard for any morality it might assert. But that is an argument that's made when you, the two things in view are atheism and theism, not atheism and Christianity. There's a huge difference between theism and Christianity. But the caller, Ben, is absolutely right when he says Christianity in particular, in fact, is unique among all the religions of the world as being the only religion that is not, in its essence, a system of morals. Christians are often shocked to hear this. When it comes to the morality project, which is what all other religions are, they're morality projects. They're do-it-yourself, self-improvement, morality projects. They view the human condition to one degree or another as kind of the fixer-upper, that if you work hard on the weekends, you can get it back into shape. Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, you name it, Mormonism, they are all essentially moral systems for human self-improvement, or perhaps even human salvation. A man saves himself by his own efforts. Christianity is unique among all the religions in that it is not, in its essence, a moral system. When it comes to the morality project, Christianity essentially says, we're not dealing with a fixer-upper, we're dealing with a case of demolition. Christianity starts over again and substitutes a perfect life, Jesus, for my imperfect life. It doesn't try to improve my life, it simply substitutes Jesus' life for mine. We call it redemption. And so you're right to say it's a redemptive system, not a moral system. Now, we did have something to say about Mitt Romney. Wouldn't it be ironic if a Mormon president were to correct the position of his Christian predecessor, that is George W. Bush, and say, you know, I know that it's been the position around the White House here for a long time that there's not really much difference between the God of Islam and the God of Christianity. In fact, I think my predecessor here in the White House asserted that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. I just can't take that position. I see the difference between these two things, and I think it's out of respect for the Muslims, we should acknowledge that they believe they worship a different God and Christians should too. Now, it would be ironic because those words would be uttered by a Mormon. It would be even more refreshing for him to say, you know, these three religions, Mormonism, Christianity, Islam, they all worship different gods. And only one of them can be right. Now, I'm not going to blame Mitt Romney if he's in the White House for saying my God's right, because at least he has the courage of his convictions. I'll disagree, but I'd find that an honorable statement if he said the God of Mormonism is the true God. Next up for our Issues Etc. listener comment line, it's a caller from Kansas on why he is a Christian.
Yeah, John Williams is speaking Kansas again. I just want to say that I'm a Christian for one reason only, because it's true. Other than that, it really doesn't appeal to me all that. Furthermore, I'm Lutheran because I think it's the most closely adheres to the actual truth. You know, but when it comes down to my personal emotional feeling about it, it's really not the sort of thing I would have come up with if I was going to invent a religion. But that doesn't change the fact that I think it's true, and since I have a personal fondness for the truth, that's why I'm a Christian. That's what's so great about it. It's the one that's true. Have a good one. Love the show. Bye.
I like the way you put that, a personal fondness for the truth. I'm kind of attached to it, too. Thank you very much for the call. Yes, Christianity is true, and I agree, it is not the religion I would come up if I were inventing one. I would invent one just like all the other world religions, where I pay my own way. It's a good thing I wasn't making it up. It's a good thing it came not from the mind of Wilkin or our caller, but from the mind of God who redeems sinners who can't save themselves. Issues Etc. is underwritten in part by Concordia Seminary St. Louis. They're going to be hosting what they call Taste of the Sem, January 19th through the 21st. What it is a retreat for high school-age men who want to explore the possibility of a future study for the pastoral ministry. Taste of the Sem is January the 19th through the 21st. To find out how you can send a high school-aged man in your congregation to a Taste of the Sem at Concordia Seminary St. Louis, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Check out the What's New section. You'll find Taste of the Sem right there, everything you need to know. Or you can call this number and inquire, 1-800-822-9545. 1-800-822-9545. It's Taste of the Sem, January the 19th through the 21st, on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Remember that What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. No, I don't think that if God had left us to our own devices, we ever would have come up with anything like Christianity. We would not have asked for the Son of God to take on human flesh and to bear our sins in his body at the cross and be our salvation and our substitute, which is a good thing. God didn't ask us. He simply sent his Son without our permission. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Today's Issues Etc. broadcast was underwritten in part by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, titled What Happened to Merry Christmas? More information is available by finding the book cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month, What Happened to Merry Christmas?
AM 850 KFUO Clayton, St. Louis, now concludes its broadcast day. KFUO AM operates with a signal strength of 5,000 watts on a frequency of 850 kilohertz. Some of today's programs may have contained persons or opinions not in agreement with the management of this station, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Join us tomorrow when AM 850 KFUO returns to the air. Have a pleasant night, and may the peace of the Lord be with you.